the Newman Center for the Performing Arts. The time, this is KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. It's 7 o'clock.
Destination Freedom Black Radio Days is a copyrighted program of No Credits Productions, LLC. Any unauthorized rebroadcast, recording, or any use of this program is strictly prohibited. Destination Freedom is sponsored in part by Arts and Society, Bonfey Stanton Foundation, the Olympians Fund of Denver Foundation, the Urban Spectrum, the Denver Center Theater Company's Until the Flood, based on interviews after the Ferguson, Missouri unrest. This poetic drama plays March 20th to May 3rd, 2020. Information at denvercenter.org. KGNU, Modus Theater, and No Credits Productions, LLC.
Have you ever heard the story of an undocumented person? On October 24th, Shoebox Stories UndocAmerica series podcast is launching. Visit shoeboxstories.org for more information.
We dedicate the tale of the bullet to Claire Davis, Devon Bailey, Alex Sullivan, Tatiana Jefferson, and so many others. Destination Freedom.
Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom over me. And before I be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free.
The setting: an office, an elementary school, a nightclub, a church, a college campus, a hospital parking lot, a traffic stop, a backyard, a park,
This is a wake-up call. Rise up and stand tall. Be in it for the long haul. Yes, it's a wake-up call. No voice is too small. We can all do more. This is a wake-up call.
How did this happen? How did I end up lying in the middle of the street, dying at 3:30 in the afternoon on a Wednesday? I left school and everything was groovy. I like to say groovy. It was my mother's favorite saying. Graduating in a few weeks, accepting into 10 colleges, including my first two choices, Yale and Howard. My dad was a Morehouse man and he wanted me to go there.
699 children killed in 2018 through the ages of 0 to 11 years old. 22,000 suicides.
Wait. Are we going to have a pity party here? Let me speak the truth. Yes, it was me and my siblings who ripped into your body 7 times.
Beautiful number.
16 times, my brother.
No, I stand corrected. 16.
Beautiful number.
Once someone pulls the trigger, I just get going and I usually come with my family, you know.
That's what we are made to do.
Today, on Destination Freedom, we bring you the tale of the bullet.
Run!
I'm Don, pretend to be concerned, from K&T, Kill Niggers Today TV. Today, I'm on a deadline, pun intended, like so many other days, but unlike most stories, this story is different. I'll be the same, more urgent than other deadlines that I have ever had in the past. there has been yet another seemingly senseless shooting by the police, citizen patrol, lone wolf, mad brother, ex-boyfriend, husband, wife, somebody like that. Not sure yet, but they had a gun. Let's go to our studio panel. We welcome the Bullets. They represent...
Hold up, Home Slice. We can introduce ourselves. I'm Hollow Point. Illegal, but I'm here.
I'm 9mm.
Me? I'm 300 Blackout.
224 Valkyrie. Used in the AR-15.
Here we go. The weapon. The gun is about to get all the glory. All the press, good, bad, or indifferent, while we Bullets do all the work. Of course, they had a gun. This is America. America loves guns.
Yeah, people want to talk about the Glock, HK-45, Smith & Wesson M&PQ, P226, but I digress.
Yes, you digress while I die. Now that it has happened, I wish that you would have hit me in the head or the brain. You see, that's my best part. Then it would have been over faster. You wouldn't have to have pushed through membranes and tissues. But now shot in the arm, leg, chest, stomach. But now I digress.
Dude, we travel at 3,200 feet per second. We don't pick a spot. The shooter does.
Anyway, we like the tearance of flesh and bone and tissue. It feels good.
Don again from KNT. What brought us here to this place at this time?
Excuse me, Don. It's my story. Trey Laquan. Let me tell it.
Excuse us, Trey Laquan. If you don't mind, we would like to butt in. Say 16 times. We have a lot to say.
Well, you have jokes. Anyway, let's go back to the beginning of my life. Then I promise you we'll get back here.
It's your life. We're just here to take it.
Teens, 12 to 17. 2,853 killed.
Of course, it's my life flashing before my eyes moment. Cue music. Nice. Thank you. I like that. Born into a loving home, good father and mother, sister, me, middle child. Good at everything from academics, sports, girls, although I still am a little awkward at that. Okay, this morning.
Hey, Trey, you ready?
That's JT, my best friend. Funniest white boy I know. Hey, JT, what's up?
Headed to shoot a few on the court, then headed to the library. Study for the SAT. Roll with me.
I thought that you passed the SAT.
I did, but I want to make sure I can go to whatever school I want, like you. So twice as nice, right?
Right. Okay, sure. Let me go grab my backpack. See you, Mom.
You guys be safe out there. Trey, take the bus home.
Mom, I need to get a little run in. I'll just run home.
I'll feel better if you take the bus home.
I should have listened and taken the bus. I can hear her voice now, on the news or at the services. My mom had just been to a Say Her Name rally for all the countless black women gunned down or killed in this country. She was crushed at Sandra Bland's killer and countless others walked free. Now my mother has to talk about me, her only son.
I hear the cry of a mother as if her womb had been ripped out of her. Her little girl, innocent bystander. Teachers couldn't save her, nor could the ventilator. One bullet changed her reality. Imagine having to bury your baby while everyone flirts with the gun lobby, avoiding policies that could have changed her destiny.
Mrs. Jones, what are you feeling right now?
He was such a good boy. So smart and kind. Always listened to me. I just don't know what possessed him to not listen to me that day. If I could just turn back the hands of time. But I can't. My baby is gone forever. and there is no one or nothing that can fill this hole in my heart. How? Just how could this happen? You hear about things happening like this on the news, but you never think it's going to happen to you. You never think it'll be your son's lifeless face staring back up at you. Traded everything right. Everything right. You hear me? And I just, my heart is broken. I wouldn't wish this kind of pain on my worst enemy. Something has got to change.
Meanwhile, across town, a young blood is walking with a very determined gait. Saint has been told that chemo snitched on him.
Chemo gonna die.
Bullets in his Glock are getting hot with the sight met.
Get ready, brothers and sisters. It's almost time.
Yeah, get ready to fly.
I knew we were in the right gun, in the right hand. I just hate sitting in a chamber doing nothing.
Like old school Chuck D would say, it was the hand of the nigga that pulled the trigger.
Chemo. What's up?
Hey, Saint. What?
Chemo didn't stand a chance. We were in his chest and head like that.
Somebody say they saw something, I'm gonna bust that ass.
Hey, Saint, it's me. One of the bullets you didn't fire.
What? Who said that? I told you I'll bust that ass if I hear anybody talking.
Don't you worry, fool. Ain't nobody seen nothing.
Here, nothing is just but another dead, black, brown, boy, man,
woman.
Come on, squeeze off another round. Let me feel some flesh today. Go ahead, you got a background check.
Yeah, the background check. Said good to go, to kill, right?
I gotta get out of here. I'm hearing stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably hearing stuff like guns don't kill people. People kill people. Are they dead or what? Or was it a terrorist, Shaolin Ali Akbar, ISIS, or a hamburger-eating killer of 9 church members? In fact, in 2018, over 14,786 people in this good old USA were killed in gun homicides. We're in a new year now, and we're already close to 1,000 plus. And then you have the unintended shooting. I didn't mean to kill you, but I did. Yes, I did. And I'm crying and saying how sorry I am. I am. How tragic. A murder, suicide. Well, we just need more background checks, and that would stop the killing in Chirac, or I mean, Chicago, or Baltimore, or Denver. Place your city name here. Why is it that the NRA can support the Mumford Act and keep the Black Panthers from carrying loaded weapons, but oppose the Brady Act, huh? Anyway, back to our story.
I wonder what story the cop will give. Would that I held a gun? No, a bat? A knife? None. A kind word? No, a book bag filled with chemistry, math books, and August Wilson plays.
You know, as I went into your chest and out your back, I thought I tore through a copy of Joe Turner Come and Gone. That's my favorite.
Yeah, that's the one about families being torn apart and finding your song or something like that.
Sorry, Trey. I hope you found your song before today.
I saw him running, chasing after the other kids with something in his hand. It looked like a weapon of some sort.
So he posed a threat?
What? A threat? Yeah, yes, he posed a threat. He was running in the neighborhood. Could we give him CPR or something?
Paramedics are on the way. Hey, he looks like that Trey kid that's always in the papers. Some kind of track star and egghead. Ooh. You better get your story straight. Hey, get him help!
It's the kid he was chasing. You all right, kid?
Get Trey help!
He was chasing you. What, did he have a knife?
Knife? He didn't have anything. He was letting me win for once to his house. Get him help.
Oh, calm down, kid. Are you saying this Trey kid lives around here? Uh-oh. Hey, guys. Looks like this was another, damn shooting.
Oh, well, maybe he'll get help soon.
Yeah, that's right, Bullet. Talk it up. I'm not going to let you in.
What do you say, Bullet 2? Do we need to have a national dialogue on guns?
No way. He needs a longer waiting period after purchase. More background checks.
I say we need more bullets so the NRA and gun lobby can just shoot everybody that pisses them off.
Oh, come on now, guys. They couldn't make our brothers do that, could they?
Trey, save your breath. Let me take it for a couple minutes. Let's see. A national dialogue. Didn't we have that? The USA passed the Brady Bill.
Yeah, that's right.
Now let's see then. Didn't we have a long discussion after Columbine? After all the killings in Philly and Chicago, Sandy Hook, Aurora Theater, Virginia Tech, Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church, the Tree of Life Synagogue, Marjorie Stoneman, Gabriel Giffords, Tamir Rice, Trayvon Martin, Jessica Hernandez, our grandmother Marlene Pinnock, and
amen,
on
brother,
on
preach.
I guess we should expect that from a violent, savage country, an America that does not protect its people but buries dreams. Bullets and guns that took the indigenous people, Apache, Sioux, Utes, the Bison, the enslaved Africans.
All right, now, don't start getting all political and morbid on us.
We didn't start this. It was long before us that made the gunpowder that filled the round cylinders.
You better get back to your story before we light you up.
Don, pretend to give a damn here again. We've had this young man's best friend here who was with him when he was shot. His name is JT. JT, what can you tell us?
I can tell you that Trey is still alive over there and they won't get him help.
We have not been close enough to see. You're saying your friend is still alive?
Get him help, please. We were just running home from school like we do most days so that Trey could get some training in for track. The cop said that he was chasing me. He was letting me win.
Everybody needs to get back. Kid, I saw a big black kid chasing a white kid in this great neighborhood. And what do you want from me? And hell, I can't afford to live here. Plus, I got a call about a break-in, didn't I? Yeah, there was a break-in, or a woman was scared or something.
Shut up. Are you saying that this young man is still alive? His friend's saying he's still alive.
The paramedics are here, and he's being taken to the hospital now.
Why did it take so long? Why has he been laying in the street without any medical attention?
I said I need you to keep back so we can do our job. What? We hit him 16 times, and he's still alive?
He's one tough cookie.
Oh, we were off our game today.
Don't worry, my brothers and sisters. He will be DOA.
You are not going to win. I'm going to tell my story. This is not the last that you will hear from me. They will write songs about me, poems, books.
Dream on, Trey. Your name and everything about you will be forgotten with the next news cycle.
Remember, America has to worry about the Muslims and Mexicans. Who cares about another Trey?
Trey. We end our story with news of another shooting in our city. Officer of Deadly Force, who was involved in the shooting of a young star scholar athlete, Trey Lacon Jones, was part of another shooting. But this time, closer to home.
Honey, you okay?
I think I might be in trouble. I shot a kid today.
That was you that they've been talking about on the news?
Yes, I just need to close my eyes and rest. Freeze!
Yes. Here we go.
Honey, wait. No, it's Jack.
Too late. We're gone. We are in. No! Straight through that little chest, through the wall, straight into Grandma. Stream bullet.
2 for 1, baby. Oh, yeah. 2 for 1.
I love my job.
Wait. We have something else happening.
Honey, wait. No. No.
You guys forgot about me, the bullet that is sometimes unexpected. The one that comes when all hopes are dashed, dreams are shattered, and the owner or anyone with a finger can pull the trigger and...
No! No! Why?
What would happen when bullets and guns, and more importantly, humans, write a new tale?
No one's immune to this epidemic. Secular or holy, nothing's off limit. Our brightest dawns turn into our darkest nights, slowly killing our will to fight back. Have we become so desensitized to not recognize that we are perpetuating our own demise, letting anyone with a vendetta against humanity take the stand and plead insanity?
You have just heard Destination Freedoms, The Tale of the Bullet, written, produced, and directed by Donnie L. Betts, under the spirit of the original series Destination Freedom, written by Richard Durham. Destination Freedom, Black Radio Days, is sponsored in part by the Urban Spectrum, Bomfy Stanton Foundation, the Ulipians Fund, Arts and Society, Denver Center Theater Companies, Until the Flood, KGNU, ShoeboxStories.org, and NoCredit.com. The cast for The Tale of the Bullet included Jaleel Ridley as Trey, Such as mother, theme singer, writer, and performer of Wake Up Call. The Bullets were Kurt Soderstrom, Prince Poe, and Andrew Betts. Narrator, Donnie L. Betts. Don, the reporter, was Jeff Campbell. Sam Gilstrap as J.T. Itha Gabriel on Foley, Jodell Charles on piano, Lionel Young, violin and effects. Stage managers were Linda Robinson Dixon and Nadia Jackson. Cameras, Rob G. and Sid. And now, producer-director, Donnie L. Betts.
Thank you. Thank you, Kurt. We're just going to clear the stage a little bit. We're going to have a community dialogue that happens now. We're going to ask all our panelists to come up on stage as we've been clearing the stage away. So just want to thank a few people. We want you to join us next time for Destination Freedom. That's going to be in Boulder, Colorado at the Dairy Center as we partner with El Centro Sutriacho for Enrique's Journey. That's journalist Sonia Najez's harrowing immigration story adapted by Tony Garcia, parts 1 and 2. That's November 5th and 12th. We'll join again with a great, great dialogue after that production. Thanks to everyone for their continued support over the past 20 years. Without your support over the past 20 years, we wouldn't be here today, and we are nothing without you. Now join us for our community discussion. It's going to be headed up by our one and only Brother Jeff. Thank you for joining us, Brother Jeff.
Wonderful being here. And also, let's give another wonderful round of applause for Donnie Betts and everyone who has been a part of this production. I mean, if you really enjoyed it, you might want to stand up and give them a round of applause. It takes a lot for these actors to put come forward and do this kind of work.
Thank you.
We're going to engage in a talk back, a little back and forth with those of you in the audience, and then also hear from some great panelists. So what I'd like to do is go down and perhaps introduce yourselves and maybe give a brief reflection on what this production has done for you and what you expect to come out of it.
Hello, my name is Prince Poe. I'm from a legendary eclectic hip-hop group called Organized Confusion. We've had a lot of conceptual songs during our years of making hip-hop. It's totally not what's going on today. So we have a song that we had did some years back called Straight Bullet. So I'm letting y'all know the song is very visual because of the serious topic. So when Donnie reached out and asked me to come and perform, I felt that it was an honor. You know, gun violence in New York is ridiculously off the hook. And it doesn't even matter because they have a lot of surveillance cameras. It's just getting crazy. So I wanted to be a part of this production to try to bring some awareness. And I wanted to come share with Denver. I've never been to Denver. I've always had holdover flights here, but I've never been here out of the 25 years that I've been making records. So I am honored and I'm humbled. And I thank y'all for having me.
My name is Jahlil Ridley.
It's mama right there.
I was introduced to the play by Mr. Betts. He had heard my story. I am a victim of gun violence. So I was shot this past February. So I think that it was kind of a no-brainer to be a part of this production, really for closure for really a lot of people, because I mean, it's different to look from the outside in the perspective of, you know, gun violence, but being in the inside and, you know, having to live it with it every day, and it's a totally different ballgame. So I wanted to really be a part of the this play. It was really the panel that really intrigued me to want to do the play, just for the fact of closure for any, you know, questions that anyone has and that I have myself for, you know, people from the outside looking in, because, you know, I'm not on the outside looking in anymore, and I never will be. So it was very mutual amongst me and Mr. Betts why we wanted to be a part of this production.
My name is Tom Sullivan. I am a state representative from House District 37, which is in Centennial. My son Alex was murdered on July 20th, 2012, in the Aurora Theater massacre. Since that time, I have been working tirelessly on the subject of gun violence prevention. We, as you all know, had a trial that took 3.5 years to go to its end. And when that was all finished, I told my wife and daughter that I could only do so much on the outside. I could only write so many op-eds, could only stand out, you know, on a step and talk about the subject or be interviewed. I actually needed to get inside the buildings where they make the laws. We ran in 2016 for a Senate seat. The district that I live in is a very Republican district. My wife and I have lived there 29 years. Democrat has never won a seat there. There were times when we wouldn't even run a candidate, but we weren't going to move. We were gonna start to change the culture there. We lost in 16, came back again in 18, and we were the first Democrat to ever win a seat in Centennial.
My name is Deborah Wilcox, and I'm new to Denver, a couple years now, and I teach at Metropolitan State University in integrative healthcare.
Roadrunners?
Yes, Roadrunners. Yeah. And I had the opportunity to meet this wonderful gentleman down at the Colorado Black Roundtable this past weekend. So this, he asked me spontaneously, would I like to participate? So here I am. First thing that came up for me, I just wrote some, you know, in terms of what's coming from my heart, is that how wonderful theater is and how theater brings us together across our differences and really builds authentic community. And I was telling this wonderful gentleman that I met, Evan, how my high school, we had lots of theater, and everybody has a role, everybody has a part, you know, even if it just means bringing a prop out and put it on the table and having that sense of purpose. And I think about what's changed this country was activism. That's what came up for me. I have a son, I'm a mother, and he's 32, and I just thank God every day that I got him to 32. You know, and what I had to do for that to happen, you know. But activism for myself, I think is civic prayer. And that when we engage in activism, we can transform a nation. And we did that through the American Civil Rights Movement. We transformed this nation. We wouldn't be where we are if it wasn't for the American Civil Rights Movement. The world wouldn't be where it is if it wasn't for the American Civil Rights Movement. And so coming through this social political climate that we're in and the lessons that we're learning here in this valley shows that we have a lot of work to do to come together across our differences so we can create a better quality of life and improve a good quality of life of health and well-being for all people across differences. But we're going to have to create that sense of safety and engage in grassroots public policy development as we work through this identity politics. We got so much identity politics. If we can just get to the policies, you know, if we can get there. We're not there yet, but I think through civic prayer and activism, we can make it. I really do think we can do that. And the theater being the catalyst for that.
My name is Evan Weissman. I have a background in theater, and I also run an organization now called Warm Cookies of the Revolution. And we get people involved in community and civic issues in sort of fun, hopefully surprising ways. And I'm just kind of honored to be up here with all these folks. What got me, what I was thinking about when watching this was actually a friend of mine. His name's Garrett, and he was a sniper in the Iraq War. And he killed many people, and he often talked about that he was the bullet, and we all were the gun. And so what it made me think about in listening to this was, what's the difference when you look at things that are institutional? It can be clear when you're talking about individual shootings, who's to blame, who's at fault, who's involved, but a lot of it stems from these root causes. And so thinking about who's the gun and who's the bullet, and what do we do about that? That's what the performance got me thinking about.
Beautiful. Thank you. Well, my name is Donnie Betts again. Once again, I want to thank everybody who's up here for taking part in this discussion. And I just want to remind the audience, too, just right after our discussion, we'll have an amazing performance by Prince Poe. As he talked to you earlier about, he has one of the duo's hit, Organized Confusion hit, was a Stray Bullet. And one of the things, when I was writing this, I just kept listening to that song over and over and over again. You mentioned your friend being a sniper, so one of the things I do when I work many jobs, one of the jobs is I work at University Hospital at an organization called CAPE. But anyway, I talked to one of the surgeons there, emergency surgeons, and he told me he was supposed to be here tonight, but he's traveling, and he was in Iraq War too as a medic. And he talked about the damage that the bullet, he never mentioned a gun at all, that the bullet did to the body, how it tore through membranes, and it ends up in the body. We talked about this. We have had a table read last night, how that poison of the bullet stays in the body. It never leaves. So your body is being poisoned all the time. So if you don't die from the actual bullet, you die years later from that poison that is caused, you know? So, I mean, you see these old movies, they pulling the bullet out and all that kind of stuff and spitting the bullet out. And he said, no, that's not what happens. What happens is it wreaks havoc on your body. So for me personally, doing this show, I started writing in 2015. I think I told a story about this. I didn't want to ever have to produce this because I was always hopeful that things would change and be better. But personally, how it hit to me is that it was a murder-suicide within my family with my sister. So I know what bullets can do to the family, the impact it has on the family. I'm so honored that people are here who have that direct impact, like myself, or even more so than myself, would be willing to come and discuss that. So hopefully you'll be able to communicate with us as well. But Brother Jeff, is back to you. Thank you, my man.
Okay. What I want to do, I want to, absolutely. Thank you. Please. You know, there's a thread that runs through this panel from academia to youth to politics, art, and theater. I want to ask a question, Prince. I want to just ask you first, and then I definitely want to get to the audience because we want to hear exactly what you would like to engage with. There was a time where, you know, resources were taken out of communities that perhaps were already devoid of many resources, and hip-hop was created out of some of those voids. And then at the same time, we see how music and theater, et cetera, has been taken out of public education. Can you talk to me a little bit about what you see as it relates to hip hop and the music, and is it contributing to what it was initially designed to address, and what are some of the impacts of the messages that are being popularly put into the public as it relates to gun violence?
All right, well, let me start off by saying that hip-hop is a positive culture, okay? It was our refuge because back then we had summer programs, lunches, gyms to go to, and hip-hop was a refuge when you didn't have the money or you was less fortunate. Hip-hop was our refuge. It was where your voice got heard. So, you know, as the years went on, I've seen a lot of the programs diminish. See what I'm saying? We had hip-hop park jams. So now the bully over there I was supposed to fight, he don't want to fight me no more because the music was love. You know, and the gun violence wasn't as bad as it is now because we had things to do as kids. We had the summer camps, we had basketball tournaments. And as the years evolved, these programs had started getting removed. And so did the hip-hop. It started changing. Now you have artists like De La Soul, who has great music, now they're saying that the executive starts saying that this is not cool, this is not going to sell. It could be the same group that go back in there and talk about guns and killing, and that's who they started giving $500,000 to. You see what I'm saying? So in my car, when my niece gets in, I'm playing Patrice Rushen, I'm playing Police Synchronicity. We're not going to listen to that. You know what I'm saying? I'll tell people all the time, we got to be concerned with what is positive. We can't be concerned with who's not taking care of their kids. We gotta be concerned with who is taking care of their kids. Get your house in order, then you can get the next house in order. So with us in hip hop, that's why we don't do a whole lot of shows, because we charge a pretty penny, and a lot of these promoters call me a legend in one sense, but then turn around and, oh, you know, they try to downplay positive hip hop. So all we do is say, no, I don't budge for 5 cents less. I've been struggling. It's not nothing new to me. So I stand the ground and I represent real hip hop. Like I can't be concerned with this person did it and talk about having sex and gun violence. I talk about stuff that I want my nieces and my nephews to be able to listen to when I get old and gray. So that's why I'm here. You know what I'm saying? That's why I'm here.
You know, on the flip side of that, I want to ask Tom, I want to think about some of the gun violence that you've been addressing and how you were impacted as well. There's been a stereotypical image of urban violence, but now we're seeing, you know, suburban gun violence, et cetera. So what is the viewpoint that you see in terms of the gun violence and then resource distribution from a legislative level? Where are they best placed to address some of the gun violence that we're seeing today?
Well, I mean, quite obviously, I apologize, you know, for the notoriety or the resources that came to us. I mean, I still have, because of, you know, we were on the front page of the newspaper. This was a mass shooting. This is the exception rather than the rule. The stuff that happens, you know, in the cities, the accidentals, the death by suicides, that's the stuff that happens every day. And I remind people of that. What happened to my family was an exception. But if it's going to give me the opportunity to have a voice and talk about that, then that's, you know, certainly what I'm going to do. And I always talk about trying to make sure that we have the resources and what we can do for that. And then expose these people who, you know, are on the other side of this issue, who just don't, you know, see it as something that's ever going to happen to them. And I stand in front of them and say, you know, I am those other people. I'm that other that it happened to. And just look at me and tell me how I look any different from you. And that's why, I mean, that's why I wear this Batman pin. Alex was at the Batman movie. I remind him each and every day. I have Alex's picture on my desk to let them know I have, you know, the crosses that the guy from Ohio makes and drives around the country, and we used to have that one down in our basement, and it's in my office down at the Capitol now, the same one that had the balloons and the teddy bears and the birthday cards. That's sitting in my office. So if you come in, this is who you're talking to. You're talking to Alex's dad.
You know, for the entire panel, I would like to, yeah, absolutely. For anyone or everyone on the panel, coming into the theater, there was this question, or there was a warning. There's going to be gunshots in this particular production. And I want you to think about this in terms of audience members as well. Was that a triggering warning to you? Do those exhortations trigger you? Or were you kind of like me when I was told there would be gunshots in the theater? I was like, well, I hear gunshots in real life all the time. You know what I mean? So what hit you when you heard that warning that there would be gunshots? Where did that land with you?
Oh, me? Okay. Well, I made the announcement, so... Well, it's two reasons. One is I have to be a responsible producer. So if it is going to trigger something in someone in the audience, I have to forewarn them that they have the opportunity to leave and not have that trigger something in them that's not a positive.
Yeah, but not necessarily the why, but and then perhaps for the other panelists in terms of how did that land with you, knowing that that was a particularly here it comes, and you're like, uh-oh, or yeah, that's what it is, or that's how it is. How did it land?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm like you. I hear gunshots, or I have ghost gunshots, as we call them. Linda and I call them ghost gunshots because somebody's always saying that they hear gunshots. So I'm not sure if it's gunshots or not, but I know definitely there are gunshots in my neighborhood. You know, it's supposed to be suburbia or whatever. But so I don't know. It's interesting because sometimes I tense, and sometimes, frankly, I just ignore it. It doesn't land on me any kind of way. It's just like, unfortunately, it's the norm. And that's what bothers me about this country, that it has become the norm, you know? That gunshots and violence and ignorance and people coming out of people's mouths is the normal. And we put up with it. And my thing is, we can't put up with it. We have to speak up and speak out, write up, write out. Whatever your vehicle is, we have to do something so it doesn't become the new norm. And it's become the new norm, and it's just frightening that it has to be that way.
Evan, how did it land with you?
It's kind of similar there a little bit. I mean, I think also just from being in the theater a bunch, that it's a warning that is kind of common, that there might be, that there's gunshot that's going to be going off. And so I think for me, was just, unfortunately, it was sort of like, it comes off like, please silence your cell phones, yeah. Just from being exposed to it.
Yeah. Well, for me, it was visceral. I mean, I had an a kind of emotional kind of trigger about it. Okay, we're getting ready to get real with this thing, you know, and it put me into a reflective mode about really what time it is for all of us. So it put me in a deep reflective mode, and then thinking that, but we're all in this together, but I don't think we always know that. But I was feeling really blessed to be able to feel that I could still feel, because I think it's what you're saying, is I don't want to be numbed out. I want to have a vicarious traumatic experience when I hear about a gun shooting. I don't want to say, you know, that's just another day in the U.S., you know, even though I think that cognitively, but in my body, I feel it, and I want to always feel it. I don't want to be numbed out, that I worry about that.
It got very traumatic for me when I was like 13 years old. The cops killed one of my friends, and ever since then, I don't believe in paranoia. Like I'm not numb to nobody's child getting killed, because I have 10 nephews and 5 nieces, and I love them to death. But I don't believe in paranoia. I'm always on point. I'm always looking just in case. Like I don't believe in paranoia because of gunshots. So I'm not numb to it. I'm listening for it. I'm looking. I'm paying attention to people. I'm looking at people's waistline. I don't play with it at all. Like I'm numb to people being numb about it. Mm-hmm. I'll never be comfortable with that. You know what I'm saying? So, mm-hmm.
Rodney.
I think it just. I think. Having the script in hand, it kind of hit different, because, you know, we have the cue, gunshots is gonna go. But aside from that, that's why I wanted to do this panel, was to hear what it's like being on the outside in again, you know, because hearing a gunshot and it's not coming towards you is totally different than hearing them and they supposed to hit you, you know. So it's different. So. And I mean, you know, the differences, there's gunshots that are made for entertainment in terms of the sound, and gunshots that are, these are for you, you know. So I mean it's like when I hear the entertainment gunshots, you know, TV, I kind of chuckle, you know, because it sounds nothing like it. It's kind of like, are you serious? It's kind of offensive in a way. Like to try to make it make it entertaining, it's offensive, and it's just, I don't know. So it doesn't bother me, only because I know the real one, you know, and I felt the real one, so it just doesn't hit me. It's, unfortunately, I don't want to use the word numb, but that's the only word that really comes to mind in terms of the sounds, and you know, when he made the announcement.
The night Alex was murdered, when it was first starting, all of the kids, the people in the theater, grabbed their phones and started calling 911, and there were a lot of the 911 calls that were played during the trial, and they actually opened the trial with the shots that were going on. And I'll never forget hearing these were the actual shots that were coming out. I've talked to another father, one of the Columbine fathers, who he's heard the tape, and he can count to knowing which bullet murdered his son. So he can sit and listen to that to know which one they are. I mean, I appreciate the fact of having that you know, notice out there, but yeah, you should be jolted. You can't turn the page on this, because, you know, our kids are dying.
You know, I want to go to the audience. And I've got some follow-up questions, but I think they're going to come from the audience as well. Over here on Evans, when you turn, they just recently made, it used to be a two-way coming in front of the theater, and now it's like a one-way. And so when we were pulling up, I was, I said, wow, what's going on? And my wife was like, just turn up in there. And I said, you know what? I don't want to get a shot over here. And some of you kind of understand what I'm saying. you know, it's like a whole different dynamic. But Donnie, would you pass that to whomever may have a question? Can we see by a show of hands now that you've got a brother Jamal, as now that you've got a feel for who's on the panel, feel free to direct a question to them.
I just wanted to say that the young man right there, that's the one that hit me, is that, like, I tell B all the time, like, you know, you watch movies and you see all the gunshot, and I'll stop and go in the other room, right? Because I always think what he thinks. When people are shooting at you in the real world, and when you go home and watch it on TV, it make you think different, right? You know, like, man, that's different. So when I watched movies, now I'm like, man, I shake my head, like, man, that's not even real. You know, like, you know, because I was a teenager going through that. So thank you, man. That's real right there. So people that watch movies and they laughing at people, you know, like, I laugh a lot when I see them kind of movies. People say, what you laugh? It's not funny. I'm laughing at this fact that it's phony. You know, it looks good or it's funny, but really in real life, it's not. So that's just something I'm getting from the young people. Always say some of the wisest things, man. Thank you.
Questions, comments?
Don't be shy. You're safe in here.
I think I saw someone in the back.
Okay, I'll be right back.
He's absolutely right.
Or we'll just start calling folks like Cajardo.
Brother, you
have someone right here.
He was absolutely right about that, because when them bullets is flying past you, that's a different type of breeze that you'll ever feel.
It was a comment that this gentleman said about the amount of attention that came to this community because your son had passed. You should never feel bad, ever. It happened. You have every right to feel bad. What it did, it helped not just your community, but the country, to understand that as a country, we're desensitized to violence now. We're so numb. Like, even when this gentleman said the differential in hearing bullets on movies and TV and to what he heard, you can never take that away from him. And it's gonna stick with him. But with the work that you do in trying to help curb gun violence, to try to go and help educate those who are still naive or just self-ignorant, everybody got to applaud that, because you got to deal with that every day. Every day you go to work, every day you see that pin on you, you have to still sit there, and everybody has to see you go through that. So I just want to say you should never feel bad because of the amount of publicity that you got, the amount of, you know, views that people said, oh my God, it happened in Denver. I remember it. And I was disgusted because I'm a parent. My child goes to the movie, I'm petrified. Every day, he walks out, he goes to work, he goes to wherever. I don't know if he's gonna come home. So you didn't know that your child was gonna go see Batman, and that happens. And as parents, as friends, we all feel that way. So I definitely, like, I came in to look at the play from a different perspective until I started to see the play and I heard it, and it really resonated. Because this is real. This isn't the movies, this isn't TV, this isn't music. Like Prince said, like, Prince is a personal friend of mine. I know what type of life he's lived. And people don't understand, a lot of the soldiers that are overseas, they got PTSD. You guys have PTSD.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Like, realistically, some of you guys have friends, family that you've seen shot, or you woke up, went to school, they're not there anymore. You're not supposed to feel bad? It doesn't make any sense.
Thank you. We got about 3 minutes.
I want to actually piggyback off of this brother, and I want to say thank you to Such for your role. The mothers and fathers, that was like you, I cried. One, that's my child, literally. But the trauma is something that we also have to address, and not just talking about these are issues, because You don't even understand how trauma shows up. You don't understand how the impact of gunshots, you know, what it we say it numbs us, but it shows up in different ways in our lives. It might show up in, now I don't trust people. It might show up in, now I don't want to work my job anymore, and now I'm stuck, and I'm all of these different ways. So even though it's not, it's so abnormal to our natural selves that we get disconnected. And so in this conversation, I hope that we walk out being graceful to ourselves and allowing ourselves to heal. However you've been impacted, policy takes time. That doesn't mean we're not still hurting. That doesn't mean that we still don't need to address in some type of healing circle, in some type of something, and addressing that it's traumatic. It's traumatic to be a victim. It's traumatic to be a caregiver of a victim. It's traumatic all the way around, and you don't know how to do it.
Can I ask you just a quick question in terms of you're watching a production with your son, and you produce theater? How did you navigate between the real and the theater, the real and the stage? How do you do that?
I didn't. Donnie, let me know about the project. I was intentional about not reading the script. Also, Jahlil is 17. He needs to start owning his own experiences. So I didn't. I was so concerned with my son's healing, and I was so liberated to see he found healing through the arts the same way that I have. And I was concerned about the gunshots, because I know what triggers are for our family, and I didn't. And that's why such a role was so important to me, because that was the one thing I was concerned about, like who's holding that mother space or parent space for my child really living through probably thoughts he really had in February, right? And so I didn't separate in terms of my son. I didn't separate, and such became me for a second.
All right. So just from Evan down, I would like to ask, please, go ahead.
Thank you. Sorry, Brother Jeff, we have to do some legal ID thing for the station.
Indeed.
You guys are all on the radio right now, of course. Just want to remind you that this is KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins, Destination Freedom.
Thank you, Dave.
That's Dave. Evan, I want to work down just quickly and talk about resolution. And take about 30 seconds or so and just talk about how does this resolve? If we are to address gun violence, gun issues, et cetera, what's the resolution?
I wouldn't pretend to have a solid answer, but I do think about a lot. If you say Columbine to everyone, most everyone knows what you're talking about. And if you say nickel mines, does that conjure anything up to anyone? I only know it because I looked it up. But I remembered it. It was an Amish shooting in the Amish community in Pennsylvania. And it was brutal, and it was horrific. And to be brief about it, they bulldozed the school a couple days later, built a new one. And there's nothing else that you hear about it. And Columbine, there's still lawsuits, and there's still monuments, and there's still books being written. And this isn't to talk about the personal pain, but there's some lesson there that I don't know what it is, but there's a lesson of how we deal with some of these, especially mass violence. So that's best I got.
Yeah, what comes up for me is one of my highest values, and I hope it's one of the highest values of members of the audience and all of us, is community. You know, the opportunity for us to be able to come in places and spaces in our communities and be safe and authentic in dialogue and conversation, just like tonight. This gets no better than this. But this can be a way of life, not just a program. It can be a way of life in spaces and places where people feel safe to show up authentically who they are. we have a thread in this culture that we have to be in some type of agreement with each other in order to get something done. And we don't have to agree. Only thing we need to do is build community through organic, not electronic. We do emails to exhaustion. But we need to be able to look at each other's faces and see each other's bodies and verbal and nonverbal and come together and kind of restore a sense of humanity that we've lost in the country. And that can be done on a small level. So in essence, we haven't said no to gun violence as a country. What is it going to take for us to say no more? We haven't done that because we still think we need to be in agreement as opposed to building community.
Okay. Hey, Brother Jeff. Can we get a last word to our young?
Yes, indeed.
Yes. You have the last word.
What was the question? Can you ask?
The resolution. If we were to resolve this gun violence, what would be your gift in terms of bringing that about?
I don't think there's just one answer, but I think the biggest one for me is acceptance. And what I mean by that is, I think the only, I don't want to speak for you or your family, but I feel like to say we're numb to it is a slap in the face to the victims and the victims' families. To just say, oh, I'm numb to it, this happens every day, I feel like that's very, I feel like that's a big slap in the face, and I don't know if you feel like that, but I know, people who, I've lost people as well, and, it's like the families still suffer, but the phrase life goes on, I think, kind of makes it's tough. I wouldn't say it's everyone's fault, but I feel like just to say, oh, I'm numb to it is I don't think that's helping at all. I feel that if anything, that's just egging it on and making it a bigger of a beast by not accepting it and not, And acceptance is not always going to be good. It's tough, it was tough accepting that I got shot. I wanted to act like it didn't happen, but you can't. You have to accept it and you gotta face it and do things like this, think about other resolutions. Because I don't think anyone's gonna think of other resolutions if they don't accept it. That's the first step that you have to do is accept it and then think it. You can't think about it if you don't accept it fully.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, what I will like to say in closing, I believe the solution is this. 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 Thank the wonderful panelists. Thank Donnie Betts, and thanks everyone for coming out and participating. Donnie.
All right. Thank you. So just give us like 2 minutes, and we're setting up for Prince Poe. Go ahead and start. Give us a little traveling music. In your style.
Mr. Soundman, could you please?
Yeah. So we're just going to clear the stage first. Yeah.
Everybody get up.
A little party and we gonna warm it up a little bit. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. I'm just gonna play a few songs for y'all. I hope you enjoy yourself tonight.